Look at Romans 15:4. Now, I have heard over the years, I really have, and it's one of those things, it always gets back to me eventually, you know, that I spend too much time on Paul. I mean, the book has 66 books in the Bible. Why don't you preach on something from the Old Testament? You know, I heard that even way back in the olden days. And don't hear it any much really, because I'm not around anybody to tell me that. But I get emails and some things like that, and I think about it. And, you know, like I said this morning, Romans 15:4 says this, and it's a good thing. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our, here we go, learning. Okay? So, yeah. The phrase that I find people having the hardest time to grasp is, this Bible is all there for us. But there's only segments of it that are written to you, or to us. Big difference. And we have to be careful even how we tell it to people, because, you know, yeah, some of that's only for me. No, it's there for everybody. We can't use the word for, we have to word the use to. There's Paul's writings are written to us. They're written to Gentiles, and then they're written to the Church of God. Not a denomination, of course. It's written to people that are believers. Paul spends most of his time talking to Christians, believers already. He's there. He's the helper of our joy. He's there to teach us. He's there to guide us. He's there to encourage us. He's talking to the believers. And we also realize that there's things in there that are not written to me as a man. There's things written in there to the women. Well, the men still need to know that stuff, so it's there for them. There's things written to the young people, written to old, to the aged. Okay, it's all there for everybody. But we have to break it down, and it's called rightly dividing, and we break it down into what's written to us. It's that simple. The things that are written in the Gospels are not written to us. If there's anything in the Gospels that Christ wants us to know today, he will speak it again through Paul. It's just that much of a simple breakdown. So when we look back to the Old Testament, it's there for us, no doubt. And like I said this morning, I've got 2 years of Sunday school classes going through the Old Testament, just with some general comments about, well, here's some stuff in there for us, some great things to learn. And I didn't begin to touch the whole ocean. Now, Romans 15:4 says, in this learning that we're supposed to get, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Okay? So patience, we read the whole thing. We study it all. We have patience in our life. We'll see as we talk about it tonight. And then the comfort. We get comfort from reading Genesis. We get comfort from reading Deuteronomy. We get comfort from reading Psalms, and even comfort from Ecclesiastes, because we understand what Christ has done to us and for us. So we can read these things and not be, you know, concerned. We understand God. We get to realize actually what we do is we learn to appreciate what Christ has done for us even that much more, and we appreciate that much more what Christ had to go through, because he had to fulfill the law. He couldn't sin. He couldn't do anything because it would have, you know, spoiled the whole thing. In fact, remember when he got out of the tomb and he came back to talk to the people for a little while, they couldn't even touch him because he hadn't gone up to the Father yet. Hebrews. See, we learn things in the rest of the Bible. But as far as specific and knowing that stuff, you know, it helps us be comforted. It helps us have hope. Now, how can I do that? Well, tons of ways. So each one of us has our own way of developing, of growing on our hope with all that we've read and we've learned. Now, sure, if I were to show you my Bible and you would see my Paul stuff is sticking out and it's got all the studies in there, well, yeah, that's the stuff that Paul says to preach. Preach the Word. Well, the whole Bible is the Word. That's right. But he's talking about the stuff that we've got coming for the judgment seat of Christ. That's his whole goal. is to help us learn the stuff that the risen Savior has taught to Paul. Okay, I know you know all this, but I just want people to understand the most important thing to learn right now is to prepare for what comes after you die or after the rapture. Okay, if you don't want to believe in the rapture, that's fine, but you're going to die someday, and according to the Bible, you got the judgment seat of Christ coming up. Okay, so with that in mind, I'm still going to do some. We did a study on 1 John. It was supposed to just be a quick one, but it turned out to be a real detailed one by the time we were done, because actually 1 John was written aforetime, but it wasn't written to me. We went through 1 John because we were able to see what people are preaching today to their congregation, and that isn't what is supposed to be taught to the Gentiles. Today, it's not. So we learn from studying even 1 John. We learn this thing about patience, and we learn about the comfort, because we understand, boy, I'm comforted by reading 1 John because I'm not going to worry about that. I'm glad I don't have to go through that. It helps me realize more and more what Paul has taught and what the risen Savior has done, that is such a glorious dispensation of grace. And then I had to kind of say this morning about the fact that, well, chances are we just do it out of convenience anyway. We're just that kind of a, you want to call them hypocrites, fine, but Paul doesn't use that term, here. So, whatever. I thought it's hard to be a hypocrite when there's no law, because there's nothing to be hypocritical from. We just need to know what pleases God, and we do the best we can, and different ones do different things, and some people are better at different things. Some people are good givers, and some people are not good givers. Some people have something to give, and some people don't. So, we learn all that stuff. We get the hope, and we get that joy and patience, he says there. So we get out of that 1 John. Well, I've been trying to figure out, what should we go into next? I guess I could just go back and go through Paul's stuff again. I don't know. Well, we always can always fit it in somewhere. Old Testament, I just look at it and go, if you want to learn the Old Testament and have, read it. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of history, tremendous amount of miraculous things from God, some tremendous amount of severity from God. So, yeah. But I just don't think people need me or need somebody to teach them when they can just sit there and they read the whole thing themselves. There's things that we could talk about in Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. We talk about all the different philosophies of life that are in Ecclesiastes. That's on my website, actually. All the stuff we went over. I remember by the time when we started going through the Sunday School series, we went through Genesis and Exodus. Just in general, by the time we were done in Malachi, we were going like almost verse at a time. It got real detailed. But see, none of that was to us. And these preachers and pastors that take examples out of the Old Testament, say, here's how you're supposed to live your life, and here's, no, that is not the purpose of that thing. So we go to 1 John, we go to Peter, we go to 1 and 2 Peter, we go to James, we go to, no. That was written aforetime, and it was written to the people for the tribulation. Because at that time, they figured Christ was going to come back, and if he did, if they accepted him, then they were going to have to go through that tribulational thing. So this is why they wrote what they wrote. But God went to Paul and shoved the things that John and Peter and James and even Paul to the Jews and Jude, shoved those to the back of the Bible. Now, so far, nothing new here. I'm just reiterating what I always say. So, this King James Bible is written in dispensational order, even though chronologically those last books were written before Paul's were. That shows the miraculousness of the book right there. So, with that in mind, I thought what we would do, and I've done it before, did it in 2010, I think it was, 2009 or 2010, I thought for the next week or so, this may get into a picky thing again, it might not. I've been kind of thumbing through the book of James, And I noticed something, you know, there's something that they're teaching today in there too. There's where people get all caught up with, you know, this walk. Paul teaches about the walk all the time, and he calls it his manner of life. If we could live our life like Paul lived his, you know, that's what, he's not our example, he's our ensample. He showed us that we need to follow the risen Savior. We could go back, I'd love to study the life of Paul, just his daily life. Remember, we did that a couple times, where we didn't really study his doctrine. We just studied his day-to-day life. What happened to him because of who he was and what he had to say. We figured, well, we're going to go through the same thing if we try to teach the Paul thing. And we've all realized that, well, yeah, we're going through that thing. And Paul's involved with the shipwreck, you know, and we could have a shipwreck in our lives, and maybe we see it coming in a month or two. You know, I mean, we all know what's coming up in some of our lives. But no, I'm looking at this James thing, and I'm hoping that y'all didn't go, oh, here's another one of those that doesn't affect me. Well, yeah, learning from James will affect us because we're going to see some things again that they put on us as Christians today, the pastors. And I'm hoping that you're either taking notes or you're marking something or you're remembering some verses here, because you're going to get a chance to talk to somebody someday when somebody says something to you about something that's not written to you. I mean, it's probably not convenient to say, you know, that's not written to me, though, as a Christian. It's because they're not going to go, well, I didn't know that. Tell me more about it. It's going to give you a point of an argument, and we don't want to get into that. But Paul tells us to, you know, try to tell people, just do it in a, you know, good Christian manner. But anyway, so if y'all haven't sighed, I see your names are still up there. Let's go to the book of James. And let's look at James again. And maybe it won't take as long as 1 John. I've got a number of things I've already marked. It's like, well, this, you know, and maybe here's the problem. I mean, it's 62 years old. Maybe I've forgotten everything I've taught anyway, and I'm doing this just to keep me going. Or should we just shut down the new sermons and tell people, well, there's 7-8 years worth of stuff there. Start clicking and start listening. No, I don't want to do that, because what I'm getting out of James, the same thing I get out of 1 John, is I see it more. See, now that we know what it's like to be a Christian or a believer during the tribulation, we understand they're going to have a horrible time. We understand that. We understand that the temptations are going to be great, because if they blow it, they blow it. We understand that if they have to love, they're going to love their brethren, because first of all, they're going to know who's serious and who isn't. They're going to know who a believer is, because a believer is going to be suffering. And we said, we don't know who's believers today. I mean, everybody says they're a Christian. So who's willing to go that far? Well, we don't have to go that far today. We don't have to escape the pollutions of this world. We have to learn how to live in the midst of them, et cetera, et cetera. So we understand what it's like to be a brother. They're going to need each other. Well, we need each other right now, but we've all got insurance and credit cards and, you know, so, you know, we're not really hurting. But if, you know, if we couldn't buy anything or do anything without the credit card or without the 666, without the www on that computer, and they said you can't have your computer on unless you have signed this particular thing or, you know, taken the mark and all that stuff, then here's our government computer, here's your amount of money you're going to get. And well, see, if we didn't do that, we would know who's a Christian, who is a real serious believer. We would know how to help each other. So, understanding more and more what this believer is going to be like in the tribulation, what they're going to have to be going through, then let's look at James. We got a better light on the person of a tribulation saint. So let's go through James, and let's see what's a concern for them. Why do we need to be concerned about them? We're not going to be there. Well, how do you know? Well, you can based on scriptures. Well, good for you. But how do some of these people that still find these sermons? I don't know how these people find these sermons. They do. And I don't know how many people out there are listening to them. You know, I'd love to have a great, big, huge, long list on this thing like they have on the other panel talk rooms. But, you know, that's just the way it goes. But I know I get emails, and I know there's people out there reading and listening. I hear people once they write to me and say, you know, I've been wanting to tell you, been listening for the last couple of years, and da-da-da-da, you know, you've helped da-da-da-da. So that's exciting. But what if somebody listens to this about James, for example? They're not going to do 1 John. They're just jumping in. We're going to look at James, and they're going to recognize some of the stuff that was taught. Well, you know, my pastor teaches me that. And you know what? He really shouldn't. That's not written to me, is it? No, it's not. So let's see if we can't get a little bit more out of this thing than we did 2010 or whatever. I don't even know how many sermons I made on it. Maybe it's just a quick one. I just kind of noticed it the other day. And like, for example, tonight we're just going to get maybe 4 verses if we're lucky. I know, I can really drag something out. But let's look at this thing and see if you can't sometime help somebody realize that what their pastor's teaching is not correct. And maybe you'll recognize some things that Paul teaches that's different than what James teaches, and it'll help you learn more about Paul. Anyway, how long did that take to explain why I'm doing what I'm doing? It took like 20 minutes. Oh, well. Okay, so here we go. James, I got nobody writing anything, so I hope you're still there and haven't go, oh, he's doing James again. Okay, I think I'll go water the lawn. I'll come back and turn it off when I think he's done. He usually goes about 5 hours or so. Here we go. James, verse 1, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Well, now, how do you get past verse 2? How do you get past verse 1 with the word to there? It's not written to me. It's not written to us. And I think even a lot of pastors probably recognize that. They can't get around this one, you know. But yet, when we get into this thing, we're going to find some stuff that they're teaching that is wrong. It's a false gospel, if I look at it that way. It's a truth being taught at a different time. It's what I call sermons for tomorrow being preached today. Okay, well, here we go. My brethren, okay, who was the brethren? Well, Jews, okay. Count it all joy. There you go. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, what kind of temptations do divers have? There's the subject to study. Oh, wait. That isn't what this is talking about. Divers. Well, you whip out your old 1828 dictionary and you get the real definition of that thing, and you realize he's not talking about, you know, temptations that scuba divers get or anything. It's just that there are going to be many, many, many different types of temptations. Okay, so he says to count it all joy. Well, why would he say that? Because it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Well, okay, I've heard people say that. You know, we need temptations, you know, that, and then it says, you know, this our faith is going to be tested. And as our faith is tested, we're going to develop patience. And then it says in verse 4, so far, I mean, you know, whatever, verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect. Oh, wow. Perfect meaning complete, you know. And entire, which kind of backs up the definition of perfect. Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Well, that's a good thing. I mean, how are you doing? How is your patience? I run out of patience quicker than I ever have. The stress of what's going on has just made me really low on patience, you know. So if that's the case, I'm in trouble. Because patience is not having a perfect work in my life. I am not perfect, and I'm not entire. I mean, I got some problems here. Well, see, you read on it a little bit. Talks about asking God for wisdom. Talks about having a faith that's not wavering. Double-minded man. Man, this is just gets really, just really gets depressing here by the time you get down here. He says in verse 12, for example, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. In other words, if I don't succeed my temptation battle, I can lose my life. That's the crown of life. And do not err. I mean, it just gets into this thing. It's like, wow, I mean, that's pretty rough not to have a whole lot of patience. You can really suffer a lot by not having patience. So, well, here's what we do. And here's what you can do. Okay, let's go back to verse 2. Let's pull out of there a word that we should study compared to what Paul says about it. What do you think Paul says about temptations. You've had people tell you something about temptation. We all had a preacher tell us, you know, stay away from the temptation, all this kind of stuff. Well, let's just do a little word study. You know, supposed to preach the word, so then you ought to study the word. Not message, but the words, the individual words, okay? Well, let's see what he says about temptation. What do we got here, Paul? Okay, so I take out my little Bible concordance, which, by the way, the Bible concordance I have does not work in Microsoft 7 on up. So I need to find for my wife a Bible concordance that's downloadable free. Sword Searcher now costs money, so must be a freebie one out there somewhere. But anyway, let's pull up this word temptation. So what I did is I typed all the verses, or I had printed, excuse me, didn't type, printed all the verses that have the word temptation in, all the way from Matthew 6:13 to Revelation chapter 3. Then I go through that thing and I take between Luke 22:46 and Acts 20:19, because that's the break that goes to Paul's teachings. Then I go to the end of 1 Timothy 6:9, which is before Hebrews 3:8, because see, that's the end of Paul's teachings to the Gentiles. Hebrews 3:8 up to 2 Peter 2:9 is the tribulation. And then Revelation is always its own separate thing because it contains the past, present, and future. So you got to kind of fit that in when it's the past time. So you do that. And you realize by looking at these verses that all that Jesus was telling his disciples and the apostles, two different groups, you know, as such, he's telling them to stay away from it. Period. Just stay away from it. Lead us not into temptation. You know where that comes from. Pray lest you enter into temptation. That you enter not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. There it is again. Pray that you enter not into temptation. So, in the gospel days, you just, man, stay away from it. It'll kill you. I mean, it'll take care of you. You're done. In fact, in Luke 22, verse 28, Jesus says, ye are they, you know, to the apostle guys, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Jesus had temptations. I bet you Jesus did everything he could to stay away from them. Bet you did everything he could not to enter in to that temptation. Well, of course he did, because that would have caused a problem. So that's the gospel concept of temptation. Do we say today, stay away from temptation? Man, don't enter into temptation. You can't go anywhere. The way what TV puts out there, the way ladies are dressed, the way your men behave, what's going on in the workplace, what the magazines have in it, what TV programs are showing, what's going on in the school system, the way the kids are dressed in the school, the way the teachers are dressed in the school. If there is temptation anywhere, don't enter into it. Well, how about if you just stay away from it? Well, okay. Okay. Well, that's easy. Okay, get rid of your magazines. Okay, don't get the newspaper. Don't watch the news, because there's as much dirty talk in the news as there is in any magazine. Okay, so don't turn on the television. Don't even have a television, because you're tempted to get rid of your computer. You can't be tempted with that thing. It's just a click away, and you've got all the garbage you want in your life, and it's there. Let's see, don't get in your car and go anywhere, so you don't want to enter into temptation. What's a temptation? Ah, the thrill of speed. That's a temptation. Goes against the law, so that's there, that's a problem. Well, let's see here. I wouldn't go outside, because you'll probably be tempted to go for a walk, and who knows what you can see if you're going for a walk here. You're going to talk to somebody. You probably shouldn't get a dog, because you're probably going to spank him too hard because he's barking during a sermon. Well, how do you not enter into temptation? Well, you stay away from it, right? Okay. Don't enter into it. Okay. Well, he says, lead us not into temptation. That's just staying away from it. Well, how are we going to do that? You can't do that. So, obviously, you know, I mean, here he says to the disciples, when they're sleeping, he says, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Haven't you even been tempted when you were praying? Don't you get some thinking going on that she's, wait a minute, what am I thinking about that for? Where'd that come from? You know, somebody type something so I know that you're there. The sound is working, everything. Somebody just say boom or whatever. Boom, okay, there we go. Okay, so that takes care of the gospel thing. I mean, that's nice that we pray that. Uh-oh. Is that the way it is with everybody? Because I can't start over now. I'm into this. I'll just finish it out, record it, and play it later. But is that what's happening to everybody? Sound in and out? Okay. Plug your cable in really tight. Maybe your headset is wobbly-jobbly. Okay. Okay, so, you know, you pray the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation just before you grab a magazine or turn on your TV. I mean, come on. We can't ask him that. So, what do we see in the tribulation stuff? Well, here, then I draw a line, like you say, between 1 Timothy 6:9 and Hebrews 3:8. He says, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Talks about getting a hard heart when you're tempted. Now, like we said in James, here he says, count it all joy when you fall into the divers. He says in James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. He gets to live. Remember in 1 John, the sin unto death? There are sins unto death during the tribulation. We go to Peter, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Well, they're going to have temptations coming out of their ears during the tribulation days, and they can't enter into them. They don't dare. You know, it's just, and that'll give them heaviness. I mean, that'll be hard on them. But he says, for ye greatly rejoice. I mean, that they know their faith is being tested. Well, is our faith being tested? And he says here in 2 Peter, he says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Temptations, plural. Okay, well, we realize now, we should realize that when God corrects and chastises people during the tribulation, like he says, Revelation 3, that he's actually going to get them out of temptation. He's going to keep them from them. Does that make sense? He's going to steer them away from temptations. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. So he's going to take his people and take them out of temptational situations. He's just going to get them out of there. That's just chastising. Okay, well, what about us? Well, we realize that there's only four verses that Paul talks about temptations. Really? Yeah. He doesn't tell people to enter not into temptation. He doesn't tell people that if you're going to be tempted, you're going to, you know, you're not going to get the crown of life if you give in. And he doesn't say God's going to deliver you out of temptations. He's not? No, he's not. He's going to give us a way to escape it so that we're able to bear it. He's not going to get us out of it. He's going to help us bear the temptations we're going to have put on us. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Page flip. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I mean, come on. Who are you? He's stuck to everybody else. I'm the pastor. You've got the same temptations there, Reverend. You know, don't give us that story about 1 Timothy being you're a perfect man. Don't go there. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He's not going to let you die to this thing. He says, who will not suffer you, allows not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Now, people tend to make, how do they say this thing? They say, God will not let something happen to you that you can't handle. No, that's not what that says. He says, will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation. He will not keep you from it, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. That's what he's going to do for us. He's going to give us a way out. So if something happens to you, somebody says, well, you know, God's just testing you. God's just, he knows you can handle it. No, that's not true. He's going to give all of us, with the temptations we get, he's going to give us a way to escape. Why? So you can bear it. Bear what? The temptation you're amongst. Okay, now have you ever been in a situation where okay, God, this is a temptation beyond whatever it is. How are you going to get me out of this? And if you notice, nothing happens. I mean, a taxi doesn't just drive up and say, here, hop in, buddy, I want to get you out of here. You know, your mom doesn't call and say, what are you doing, honey? You shouldn't, where are you at? You shouldn't, well, I'm sorry, Mom, I'm coming home. You know, all that kind of stuff. He doesn't give us that kind of an escape. He's given us the Bible. He's given us the scriptures. How do we bear the temptations we have? Well, for one thing, he took care of the law. We know that. And he also gives us some scriptures that tells us, don't go there. Get out of there. Don't look at that. And we've read these things. That's my response to this. But the temptation also make a way to escape. The way to escape is the scriptures. And if something does happen, he actually gave us an escape. We're not going to have that imputed to us. But from a doctrinal standpoint. But you see my point? There's a difference. In the tribulation, they will deliver the godly out of temptations. In the dispensation of grace to us Gentiles, we're going to have the temptations, but he'll give us a way to escape so we can bear it. And it isn't that he's going to stop us from having them. No, we're going to not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Everything we have happened to us is common to everybody. Come on, common to man, it says. So there are no temptations taken you, but such as is common to man. So it's no big deal. It's common to everybody. But, you know, God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape? So, when they're being tempted, think about it. What's your escape? Well, scriptures tell me to get out of here, okay? Then get out of there. Scriptures tell me the glutton thing, okay? Then don't have that. Scriptures tell me not to look at that. Okay, well, don't look at that. Why not? I'm going to have it imputed. You're right. It's not going to be imputed, but it's going to burn at your judgment seat, and it's a bad testimony. Oh, what that is? That's a way to escape. Cut it out. Turn around and go the other way. But don't let somebody say that God's going to keep you from going to those temptations, meaning that if you go into a place where you're tempted, and God says, and you say, well, you know, God didn't stop me, and he knows I can handle it. Yeah. Come on, that talk about justifying a false doctrinal teaching. What else does Paul say about temptation? Well, he says in Acts 20, verse 19, says that he served in the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations. Paul had temptations. And here he says, Acts 20, 19, he says, these temptations was befell me by the lying in wait of Jews. God wasn't tempted, the Jews were. And look at Galatians 4:14. Here's a temptation which was in Paul's flesh. And it says here, Galatians 4:14, my temptation which was in my flesh, he despised not, nor rejected. Isn't that something? I mean, Paul had a temptational situation, and the people didn't hammer him for being in a temptation that he had. These people that think that they're strong enough to fight all temptation and God is there to keep from temptation, they're getting the wrong story. They're getting the wrong story from their preacher pastor guy. Here's Paul. He had a temptation which was in his flesh and they didn't hold it against him. They didn't reject him because of it either. They received him as an angel of God. Boy, there's a respect to Paul. Then you go to 1 Timothy 6:9 for the fourth one. And who's got the problem with temptation? But they that will be rich fall into temptation. You've got to have money to have some of these temptations. Some of these common temptations are the common temptations to rich people. You know, you start making money, what do you do with it? Well, you can jump into temptations all over the place because now you can afford them. Temptations aren't cheap. There's some freebies out there, but nowadays this high-techy stuff and all this kind of stuff, you know, well, be careful. The temptation is great there. And if you got money to get all this stuff, boy, be careful. Pastor, this is not a convenient sermon to rich people. Pastors are always worried about the rich two or three people that are in your congregation. I really don't want to pick on the rich people because they're the ones that write the big checks, you know, they're the ones that help us out. So let's not pick. No, you need to tell those people that got the bucks that, listen, you guys are fall. You'd be careful. You're going to fall into temptation, and it's going to be foolish and hurtful lust, and you're going to drown. It's going to get you. They just will. Why do you say that? Because you got the money, Joe. You know, or we got the credit card. Or credit, you know. You know, you ladies go into your store, so that, come on, man, we go into a hardware store. Come to Kendoke and go into this small town hardware store. There's things in that hardware store that were there in the early 1900s, this hardware store here. Man, I can walk out of there with thousands of dollars I buy stuff. And the temptation is tough. You know what shopping is? Going through catalogs and watching commercials. I've never seen so many commercials just going on. Yeah, I think some of the commercials, because some of the commercial time is longer than the program itself anymore. And you turn on a website news thing, and you got to watch a commercial for every news item if you want to watch the video of it. So we've gone from commercials for, you know, a minute, we'll be back in a minute or whatever, to where we have a commercial for every fact of news, and nobody seems to care. You know what that is? That's temptation. We watch that stuff, and you know what? I mean, why do they show a Hardee's triple burger at midnight at night when they're closed? They don't want you to get up and go get one now. They want you to go get one tomorrow when you're having lunch. So you turn that TV on and you're tempted. I think I'll go to Wendy's tomorrow. Yeah, McDonald's after watching the Wendy's commercial. You're going to go and eat this stuff, and temptation is everywhere. We cannot pray, lead us not into temptation. God's not going to lead us into it, put it that way. I mean, we know that. Pray that you're not into temptation. Okay, it's okay, pray. Give God, but what's God going to give you? He's going to give you the scriptures. Your memory's going to remember this scripture. Don't go there. Don't just say, pray, Lord, don't let me get into temptation as I walk inside the bar. Don't let me get into temptation as I walk in that little hootsie-cootsie tent thing at the county fair. Don't lead me into temptation, Lord, as you go to the other sites on Pal Talk. You know, and if it's a problem, yeah, stay away from it. I know some people will not put on Pal Talk because of what the rest of Pal Talk is. I know that, and that's why I hate Pal Talk so much, but anyway. Okay, so there's what Paul says about temptation. He doesn't say what James says about it. He says in James, go back to James. Now, that went on for a long time here. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, and greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Because, you know, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Well, time to stop, and let's look at the word patience. What goes on with the word patience? By the way, on temptation, in Revelation, the tribulation is called the hour of temptation. So he calls it the hour of temptation. You know how hard it's going to be a believer during the tribulation when he calls it the hour of temptation? Yeah, stay away from it. Well, it's not, you know, but that's not to us. Well, yeah, we ought to stay away from temptation. Yeah, but we can't. How are they going to be able to? Acts chapter 2, they got the Spirit of God upon their flesh. They'll be able to resist temptation and to stay away from it. Anyway, let's look at this patience thing now. You're knowing this is the trying of your faith. Notice your faith. The faith that will be tried during the tribulation will be their own faith. Well, sure, we have our faith, but we also have the faith of Jesus Christ. We can't lose the faith of Jesus Christ. I don't understand this totally, but in the tribulation, they can lose the faith of Jesus Christ. They can also lose their faith. The faith of Jesus Christ comes and goes with them. Again, they have to walk the law. They have to keep the commandments. Let's see if I can find this one verse where he says, It's Revelation 14. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. They've got to keep the faith of Jesus, and patience is the way they'll do it. And that patience will keep them from tribulation. They'll, as it says there, their fight over faith will give, you know, will build up their patience, and they've got to keep that patience, or they lose the faith of Jesus. There it says, the faith of Jesus too. Notice. Okay, so let's look at patience for a couple minutes here. Well, let's bring it up like I did before. And let's look at the differences between the gospel patience and Paul's patience and the tribulation patience. Well, Paul just talked more about it, but first let's look at the gospel thing. There's only four verses in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And one of them is quite important. It says, in your patience possess ye your souls. Really? Yeah, in your patience possess ye your souls. So lose your patience, lose your what? See? It's the walk. You ever lost your patience with somebody or something? Did you lose your soul? No. Are you possessing your soul because of your patience? I hope not. Okay, well, let's look at the tribulational stuff. Let's look at it from Hebrews on. What does he say back there? Well, it says here in Hebrews 6:12 that you be not slothful. Well, yeah, we shouldn't be slothful and lazy kind of stuff, but it says here for the tribulation that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Oh, so these promises, they inherit these things. Wait a minute, what's Paul talk about people that inherit? See, study that one out. But through faith and patience. Patience is very important in the tribulation. They could lose it all when they lose their patience. How hard is that going to be? Not to be able to buy, sell, or trade anything. To maintain your patience. Your faith is going to be trialed. And you're going to have to hold your patience? Are you kidding? I couldn't do it. Neither can they. But they'll have to have the Spirit of God upon their flesh to do this. Acts chapter 2. Okay. Hebrews 10:36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Patience. Their eternal future is, you know. What do we got here? We read that in James there. James 5:11 says, behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, so they have to have patience to endure. Oh yeah, patience is a main thing, is a huge thing in the tribulation. Well, what about Paul? Well, then you go back and you find, you know, verses from Romans to or Corinthians to Timothy or Titus or whatever, Philemon, whatever. Well, he says here that tribulation worketh patience. Okay? Well, isn't that what James says? Not quite. He says the trying of your faith, worketh patience. And he just says tribulation worketh patience. Well, we know that. I mean, you know, I'm doing this refrigerator last night and this morning, okay? And, you know, in 1 month, I'm not going to have any income for 2 months. And all of a sudden, we got to buy a refrigerator? So I'm trying to fix this thing. I get it to work. Believe it or not, I actually got the thing to work, I think. We'll check it out tonight. I got one screw that would not go in. How long did my patience last? First of all, my hands are freezing because I'm working in the freezer section. And that screw has to go in a certain angle. I can't reach the angle because of the door. It keeps banging on me. And the screw keeps falling off the end of the wrenchy looking plastic screwdriver type of thing, not bolt, whatever you call that thing. And the screw keeps falling down because it doesn't catch. I finally said, you know, I'm out of here. Shut the door and went and did who knows what else for 10, 15 minutes. Came back, thought about it, and got it. Now, did I blow it all when I lost my patience on that thing? Well, that little tribulational thing right there You know, I finally realized, come on, just settle down and think a little bit. I know, you're learning how to do so. I fixed a refrigerator, I think, and it gave me patience. It taught me patience. Knowing that tribulation work is patience. Was it a triumph of my faith? No, I just was running out of patience with the stupid thing that was happening. My personal faith wasn't challenged. I didn't think God was punishing me. I didn't, anyway. Okay. Patience and comfort of the scriptures, we have hope. God is called the God of patience and consolation. He says in 2 Corinthians, but in all things are proving ourselves as ministers of God. In much patience, we have, as pastors, we need to have patience. As fathers, we need to have patience. The apostles, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So patience is right up there with signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Patience in the tribulation will be as important as signs and wonders. It's, wow, what a thing. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Your work of faith, he says in Thessalonians, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our patience is patientable because of our hope. See, if I had a real, I'm just thinking, if I was going to realize, yeah, I'm going to get that screw in eventually, so just slow down and, but wait a minute, what if that screw doesn't eventually go in? I got to have that thing covered. Am I going to duct tape it? And you get in all this kind of stuff, you know? No, the patience of hope. We know what the Lord's going to do. We know we're not going through the tribulation. We know that God isn't punishing us, chastising us, and sending us into these these temptation situations. You know, our patience comes from the hope we have from Christ. So if anybody out there is not patient, come on, we need to be thinking about the Lord more. The world is what the world is. This job stuff for me, the health for some of you that are out there, heart surgery, things that are happening. I mean, we need to have patience. Our patience is geared on the fact of our hope that we have. So, relax. How many people in your family let you relax and be that way? Do they let you be that way at work? No, they demand, and it's tough to be patient. You just got to sigh and say, hey, I belong to God. I serve a living God. Is this part of the reproach, or am I just doing something stupid here? You know, kind of a thing. And he says in Titus that aged men, there we go, aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity, and I'm supposed to be sound in patience. I'm 62 years old. Relax. Calm down. If the screw isn't going to go in, duct tape or Gorilla Glue. One of the two things will work fine. Or throw the thing out the window. Yeah, just go buy another one for another $1,000. Sure, why not? So see, the importance of patience is there. Because in the tribulation, let patience have her perfect work. Patience will mold that believer to be what they need to be during the time of temptation. That isn't what we're dealing with today. So you read that from Paul. So anyway, there's the blurb for James. We'll do some more stuff out of James, but isn't it exciting to be able to see the difference between Paul's teachings to us and Gentiles and the people today, this dispensation of grace, God's goodness, long-suffering, and forbearance? When everybody's being preached the severity of God, what a ripoff, what a lie. And people are just as dumb as people are going to, you know, they're going to vote Obama back in because the people are being manipulated. If you see it already in the media, they're already manipulating the people to think that he's suddenly creating jobs and stuff. Oh, come on. You know, but people are going to do it. So people are going to follow for this God's severity. God, well, he's God. He can do what he wants. Yeah, but he's told us he's not going to do that. Where does he tell you that? In Paul. Are you a Paul guy? Get out of here. Well, finish off Romans 11:22. They don't want to hear it. And one of these days, God's going to go, you don't want to hear it? I'm out of here. You are too. Get the Christians out of there. There's a few that will be left if there really are Christians. And he'll just turn on the tribulation stuff. And there it goes. And we recognize that. I'm not being arrogant. I'm not being a spiritual bullhard. It's just, we recognize it. And if, you know, if people get tired of me recognizing it and wanting to talk about it, now all I talk about is Paul, and show the difference between Paul and the tribulation, why show the difference between Paul and Moses? Moses is going to come around. He's going to come around during the tribulation. Let's just show people, if we can, that they're being taught the wrong gospel. They're being taught the wrong stuff in their churches, and they love the church. They want to go to church. They want to sing. They want to worship. They want to do all this kind of stuff. And God says, come on. That's not now. And then the kids wise up to the falsity of religion today, and then they just chuck it all, throw their Bible out, throw out God, and think they just go out there and have a good time. That's what the world does. And then they'll get to go through the tribulation, and they're going to go, you know that old guy? Man, he was right. What a thing. No, he wasn't right. The Bible is right. King James Bible, rightly divided. Read it for yourself. You'll get excited. Anyway, there you are for the night.